Praise God. Amen. Well, it's a great joy to be in the house of God. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Daniel, and I'm excited to preach the Word of God this afternoon. And I count it a real privilege and a blessing that I get to preach the Word of God. Amen. And my reading this afternoon is from the book of Genesis. So if you've got your Bible with you, please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 39, and we're going to look at verse 2. Genesis, chapter 39, verse 2. This is what it says in NIV version. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Everyone say prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. In New American Standard Bible, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful, everyone say successful with me, successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I'm sure the 2020, this year has been a very strange year for each and every one of us, both personally and globally, with the whole situation with the Brexit and with this American presidency election happening, and with the corona, we've just come out of the first lockdown and now we're entering into a second lockdown, and it's just been a very crazy year really, isn't it? And maybe at the start of the year, maybe you had lots of plans for this year. Maybe you knew what you wanted to do. Maybe you knew where you wanted to go, and yeah, all different plans that you'd written down perhaps, and maybe we're praying about it and praying to God about it. And now maybe you sat at this church this afternoon and you're thinking, God, what happened? Maybe you sat here this afternoon and you're thinking, God, how did I end up in intake? How did I end up at Harvestfield Church? But can I remind each and every one of us, God has a plan. Yeah. Amen? God has a plan. And likewise, when we look at the story of Joseph, you see, Joseph, he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw his brothers bowing down before him and in a sense, exalting him. And when he shared this dream to his brothers didn't like it. Okay? But in spite of whatever his brothers thought were about him, the word of God was true for him. The promises of God were true for him. Amen? And he had a vision and he was excited about what God was going to do in his life. But when the unexpected happened, his whole life changed. Let me say that again. When the unexpected happened, his whole life changed. However, we need to understand that when God calls, he facilitates. Amen. When God calls, he provides. Amen. When God calls, he protects. When God calls, he is faithful. Whatever God might have promised you, trust him that he will bring it to completion and fulfillment. Amen. You see, when I gave my life to Jesus about 10 years ago, I didn't see myself preaching the word of God. I didn't see myself sharing my faith with other people. I was just happy being saved and getting saved. But God had different plans. You see, when David came to Harvestfield Church a few years ago, and when he attended the funeral here at Harvestfield Church, he didn't know that a few years later he'll be here preaching the word of God in intake. Amen. See, God had different plans for him. And today you might be sat here this afternoon. You might be thinking, I'm only here to attend the church. But can I say this to you? God has some amazing plans for you. Amen. God has some amazing plans for you. You might be thinking, oh, I haven't got the confidence to preach the gospel. You might be thinking, I haven't got the confidence to pray out loud. You might even be thinking, oh, I don't know if God can use me. I've got good news for you. God wants to use you. Amen. I've got good news for you. God wants to equip you. See, most of the time we think that we're not qualified enough. Most of the time we think that we're not equipped enough. But all God asks for us is our availability, our obedience. And when we come to God and when we are available and when we say to God, God, I'm here, ready, then God equips. Amen. And when God equips, he fills us with his gifts. He fills us with his vision. And his vision becomes our vision. Amen. You see, when we go through an unexpected season in our life, we have loads of questions and we look for answers. However, all I can say is God knows best. God knows best. He knows what He is doing. He knows what He is doing. And all I can do, all we can do right now at this very present moment is trust Him. That's all we can do. We need to trust Him. We need to understand that God has something special for us. We need to believe that God has something amazing in store for each and every one of us. See, I want to start by sharing the story of an evangelist. There was a certain evangelist and he was traveling around the world preaching the gospel. And he had two lovely kids. And every time he'd preach around different places, he'd come back with gifts for his children, both of them. But one particular day, he forgot. So both of his children, they're there waiting for their father to come home. And when the father arrived home, father realized, oh, I forgot to buy some gifts for them. So the boys, they're very upset now. And they're looking at their father and they're thinking, Dad, you didn't bring anything for us. And the father's like, listen, I didn't bring anything for us because I've got something special for you. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to the shop and we're going to see what you want and I'm going to buy that for you. And both the kids are very excited. They're like, yeah, I'm so excited. My dad's going to buy something amazing for me. So they go to a candy shop. Okay, they go to a candy shop and they're all excited. They're like, oh, Dad, just buy me candy, Dad. I'm fine with the candy. And Dad's like, no, let's just wait. Let's just see what's in the other shop. So they go to this big supermarket, and when they go to the supermarket, everything the boys see, and they're like, oh, Dad, I want this crisp. Oh, Dad, I want this candy. Oh, Dad, I want this chocolate. These kids, they had eyes for small things, but his father had eyes for big things. Amen. His father had something amazing for his children. So the father goes to this bicycle aisle, okay, and kids like, it's just, what's Dad doing? And this father brings two lovely bicycle out for these kids, and the kids are excited, Dad, what's this? And the father goes, these two bikes, I've been wanting to buy these two bikes for you both for ages. And the father buys these two bikes for his children, and they all go home happy. So what's the meaning behind this story? See, so many times we settle for less. So many times we're happy with that little candy in our hands. So many times we're happy with that little packet of crisps in our hands. So many times we're happy with a little bar of chocolate. But God has something amazing for us, amen? God wants to give us something amazing. But the problem is we always settle for less because we are very quick to decide, because we are very impatient. And that's why God wants to teach us patience. Certainly for me, I can be very impatient. And God works wonderfully, you know, and He's teaching me patience at the moment. And so was the case with Joseph as well. God was teaching him patience. And at the same time, God was teaching him how to stay faithful when everything around him was falling apart. And that's the message of the Lord for each and every one of us this afternoon. We have to stay faithful even when the things around us are falling apart. Yeah. It's easy to be faithful when things are going great. Yeah. It's easy to worship the Lord when things are going amazing. But it's very difficult to worship the Lord when things are falling apart. It's very difficult to stay faithful to God when things are not going as planned. Yeah. See, so it is with the Lord. He has plans for us that we can only begin to imagine. We see things and we formulate plans that we think will be wonderful, but God has something far more special for us. And a quick look at the life of Joseph illustrates this truth. You see, Joseph's life demonstrates four facts that I believe will help us as we journey this path that God has for us. So my first one is this. The first thing God gave me was this. There is a special calling inside of us. Let me say that again. The first fact that each and every one of us, we need to remember is this. There is a special calling inside of us. You see, Joseph was different. If you read the story, of Joseph, and if you read the story of his life, it is very clear to see that Joseph stood out from his brothers. He stood out in his commitment. He was very committed to his father. He stood out in his character. He was, I believe, a man of integrity. I believe he was a God-fearing man. And he stood out in his clothing as well. And as a result, his brothers hated him. And the reason he was different was because the calling inside of him was different calling to his brothers. He was called to serve, yes. He was called to be faithful, yes. He was called to work for his father, yes. But at the same time, he was called to rule and to reign, amen. And the church of Jesus Christ is called to rule and to reign. That is our calling. The church of Jesus Christ is called to rule and to reign, to rule over sickness, to rule over diseases, to rule over what the enemy is trying to bind us with, to rule over it. We need to understand the authority that God has given us. And in the world, in this world today, being different is somewhat classed socially unacceptable. You see, everybody likes to be famous. Everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to be liked and loved. And the secret to popularity is conformity. If you want to be loved, the world tells us to get along, you must go along. Okay? See, everyone wants to fit in, everyone wants to be accepted. And this is the reason why we settle for the less, when God wants us to settle for the best. Amen. Amen. There is no compromise. We need to understand that being different is okay. Yeah. While the world calls us to conform, the Bible gives us a different message. The Bible warns us against conformity. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, do not let the world press you into its mold. Stand out and shine. Stand out and shine. Don't just fit in and lose your identity and calling. See, the world will tell us we should be scared because coronavirus will kill you. But the word tells us, do not be afraid because I am with you. You see, the world tells us miracles are impossible. Science will tell you miracles are impossible. But the word of God tells us that God will turn your impossible into possible. The world tells us that we have to live in fear because of what's happening, and we have to lock ourselves in, and we have to live and stay in fear. But the word of God is different. The word of God tells us, lay aside your fear, cast your fear, and walk in faith and live by faith. Amen. We have to live by faith. The story of Daniel is an amazing story. It's an amazing account. You see, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. King Darius, who was a Persian king, the leaders who were serving this Persian king, they were jealous of Daniel. So what did they do? They plotted a plan against Daniel, and they made this King Darius to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But even when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, the lion couldn't harm him. The lion couldn't harm him because the hand of God was upon his life. And right now, the world is getting thrown into the lion's den. Yeah. Corona. Yeah. But let me tell you something. The hand of God is upon you. The hand of God is upon us. The hand of God is with us. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. When King Nebuchadnezzar threw these three men in furnace of fire, people thought, that's it, these three men are dead. But when they were thrown into the furnace of fire, the fire even couldn't touch them. Why? Because the hand of God was with them. The hand of God was with them. All these accounts are in the Bible, and they're not there just for the sake of being there. They're there because they're trying to teach us a lesson. They're trying to let us know that if God is with you, then who can be against you? If the hand of God is with you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If the hand of God is with us, no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Amen. See, that's why let's make up our minds. Yeah. And let's not settle for the less. Yeah. Let's settle for this best. Let's realize and recognize that we are all uniquely made and gifted individuals, and God made us special. And our duty is to live for Him. Our duty is to live for Him. The second fact, the first fact was, there is a special, there is a special calling inside of us. God is calling us to live in fear. God is calling us to live in fear. Second one is this, there is a special plan for us. Amen? There is a special plan for us. See, God had a special plan for the life of Joseph, and He has a special plan for us as well. And sadly, many people lack the faith or the vision to find out what God's plan for them is. But there is something amazing that God wants us to do. He has something amazing for us that only we can do. You see, He wants to work in us, firstly. God wants to work in each and every one of His lives. I'm standing here this afternoon, and most of you don't know my past. Most of you might think, oh, look at him, an Asian kid just standing in front of us, preaching the Word of God. But God saved me about 10 years ago. I was a broken mess. And if I hadn't met Andrew and Grace, and if I hadn't met Jesus Christ, and if I hadn't made that decision to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I wouldn't be standing here. I was a broken mess. I was caught up in addiction. I was caught up in a lot of mess. I was living in London, and the reason why I moved to Doncaster was because I was running away from my madness. But I didn't realize that I was carrying my madness with me. Location wasn't the issue. I was. There was problem inside of me that needed changing. There was problems inside of me that I needed to let go of. There was a huge transformation that needed to take place in my life personally. I was running away from my problem, but God wanted me to let go of my problem and to follow Him. God had different plans. When I moved to Doncaster, I didn't ever see myself becoming a Christian. When I moved to Doncaster, I didn't ever see myself going to Bible college. When I moved to Doncaster, I didn't ever see myself working with some wonderful church people that we have here. I didn't. But God had different plans. And there is a special plan for you as well. There is a special plan for you as well. And that's why, firstly, God wants to do something amazing in your life first. God wants to transform your life. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. God wants to help you to let go of this condemning thing that's burdening you. God wants you to be completely free, because the Word of God tells us that there is no condemnation. And God wants us to follow Him, and God wants to lift that spirit of condemnation over you, and God wants to completely set you free. He wants to do that work in your life first. And secondly, He wants to work through you. He wants to work through us. What I mean by that is, He wants us to be His witnesses. He wants us to carry His message. He wants us to be the light. Right now, the world is covered with so much darkness. But God has given us His light, Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to carry this light wherever we go. God wants to work through us. And thirdly, God wants to work around us. When your life is transformed, your family's life will be transformed as well. When I first heard the message of the gospel, I was so excited. I shared this message to everybody, to my cousins, to my family members, everybody. And I wasn't stopping until they gave their life to Jesus. I was very excited about this message, and that's what the gospel does. When gospel changes us, it changes people around us as well, in a mighty way. See, people thought, you know, Mount Everest, right? Mount Everest is the highest mountain on earth, and it's located in Nepal, where I was born. People thought climbing Mount Everest was impossible. When they first saw the mountain, they were like, this is 8,844 meters high, and it's impossible. No one can climb this mountain. But two men, Edmund Hillary from New Zealand and Tenzing Norway from Nepal, made it possible, because they dare to believe that we can climb this mountain. we can climb this mountain. And since then, loads of people have climbed Mount Everest. Amen? Loads of people have climbed Mount Everest. And Alexander Graham Bell, he was Scottish born, and he was the first one who came out with the first telephone. Okay? And his father-in-law told him, a telephone is one of the toys that no one's going to play with. It's useless. You're wasting your time. But hey, look at us now. Each and every one of us, we're carrying telephones. And it was made possible because one man dared to believe. Because he knew that there was something amazing planned. Okay, he knew. And likewise, Joseph, when he was locked up in prison, Joseph, when things weren't going too well for him, the thing that kept him moving forward was because his eyes were fixed on the vision. His eyes were fixed in Jesus. His eyes were fixed in the promises of God. And right now, when everything's falling apart, you might think, when everything's just not going as planned, and we might think, hold on, what's happening? God, I don't see a way out. God, I don't see this thing settling in very soon. But we need to believe that God is in control. We need to understand that God is in control. And we need to remember that God has a special plan for us. Joseph, God had a special plan for him. And third is this, the third fact. There will be some struggles and problems along the way. There will be some struggles and problems along the way. See, the life of Joseph is one of great problems and trials. When we look at the story of Joseph, when we look at the life of Joseph, it starts very hard for him. He starts with a dream, a vision. He shares this with his brothers, and all of a sudden his brothers are against him, and the whole world is against him. Okay, his brothers conspired against him, and they throw him into a pit, and then he is sold as a slave by his brothers. Can you imagine that? He's sold as a slave by his own brothers. He was falsely accused of rape. This man who did no wrong in the eyes of God, this man who was very faithful to Potiphar, this man who was very faithful to God, but yet his world was everywhere. He was thrown into prison. He was forsaken by his own family. He was forgotten by his friends. And can I say this? He was frustrated by his failures because things didn't go as planned. And please remember that all these things that happened to Joseph were part of God's plan for his life. Were part of God's plan for his life. It's a hard pill to swallow, that, isn't it? But it is true. Life is sometimes unfair. Life can be unfair. And if the Lord of glory came to this earth and was crucified, then what makes us think that life will treat us fairly? Why did these things happen to a young man who was guilty of nothing more than obeying the will of God? The answer is found in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I love this passage of scripture. He says, "You intended to harm me." Let me say it back again. "You intended to harm me." This is Joseph saying this to his brothers. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." Amen. "God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." The saving of many lives. What you intended for evil, what the enemy intended for evil, God can change it for good. God can take your famine and turn it into a blessing. God can take your failures and turn it into a success. God can take your mess. God can take my mess and turn it into a message of hope. God can take ashes and turn it into something beautiful. Amen. He is able. You see, Joseph is the Old Testament illustration to one of the New Testament greatest promises found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God makes everything work together for good. God makes everything work together for good. Through all the problems that Joseph faced, I believe the Lord was teaching him the difference between growing old and growing up. Let me say that again. There's a difference between growing old and growing up. In other words, I believe the Lord was maturing his faith. And sometimes God allows some of the things to take place in our life. Why? Because he wants to see us mature in our faith. It's a very tough truth. But sometimes God allows some of the things into your life because he's trying to teach you something. Pastor Andrew was preaching a message a few weeks ago. Job, God allowed some of the things to come into his life. But at the same time, after God saw that he was matured in his faith, God blessed him even more. Amen? God blessed him even more. We need to remember that God is always doing great things in our lives. We need to remember that. And remembering these things will help us when we face loads of oppositions. Remember, these things will help us when we face loads of struggles. Okay, I want us to think about these four things. Okay, under this fact of understanding that sometimes there will be problems along the way. Yes, there will be problems along the way, but I want each and every one of us to understand these four truths. Okay, first one is this. God is always guiding us. First one. God is always guiding us. And if you want a scripture for it, you can find it in Psalm 37, verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. God is always guiding us. When you lose track of where you're going, just look to God. He will guide you. When I am everywhere in my journey, I make myself stop now more than ever because I can easily give in to the loud voices that surrounds me, and I can so easily drift away because I'm more fixated on what I'm hearing rather than what I'm seeing. And that's why it's so important for each and every one of us to understand that God is guiding us. God is guiding us. Right now, when you look at the nation is heading towards one direction. And yes, the Word of God reminds us that we have to submit to all authorities. But at the same time, we need to trust that God gives the leaders of this nation the wisdom. And in order for that to happen, we have to pray for our leaders. We have to pray for the nation. We have to pray to God, saying, God, soften our leaders' hearts. God, fill our leaders' hearts with wisdom so that they hear your voice directly. We need to pray for our leaders. I wonder how many of us we pray for our leaders. It's a challenge to me as well. When do I pray for my leaders of this nation? We have to pray for the country. We have to pray for our leaders. We always say lots of things about our leaders, don't we? Oh, he should have done this, he should have done that. But the real question we need to ask is, if we really worried about this nation, if we really care about this nation, if we really care about the direction that this nation is heading towards, do we really pray for the nation? Do we really pray for our leaders who are placed in that place of authority by God himself? We have to understand these things, and we have to pray for guidance. Amen. But we need to know this, that God is always guiding us. Second truth, God is always guarding us. God is always guarding us. Psalm 121 verses 5 to 8 says this. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Amen. This is the word of God. From all harm. He will watch over your life. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. What a comfort in Scripture, guys. The God of the heavens and the earth, the Lord Himself, is guarding us. We've nothing to worry about. He is guarding us. And thirdly, God is always gauging us. He is constantly measuring our growth. God is far more concerned about how we react to what we face than what we face. Fourthly, God is always growing us. God is always growing us. God isn't concerned. God isn't as concerned about delivering us out of our mess as He is about us growing out of the mess we are in. Can I say this? He is into saint building business. God is into saint building business. Remember, whatever you may face in this world, however deep and dark the valleys you are called to walk through, however heavy the loads you are called upon to bear, God is merely allowing these things in your life to strengthen and to help you become more like Him. God allows some of the things to take place. Don't ask me why. I have my own understanding that He allows it because He wants us to mature. He wants us to trust Him more. But most of the times when something takes place in our life, it's just, all I say to God these days is, God, I just trust You alone. You know, in the past I've done a lot of questioning. Why this? Why that? But now, all we need to do is trust Him. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Because we'll only find out on the day of completion why God allows some of the things to take place in our lives. Joseph was in the same dilemma. He was going through stuff. And I bet there were days in his life where he looked up to heaven and he was asking God, God, why are You allowing these things to take place? God, why are You allowing these to happen? God, why did You allow my brothers to sell me? God, why did You allow Potiphar's wife to accuse me of rape and something that I didn't do? God, why? Joseph was in a dilemma. He was frustrated at the same time. But what did he do? He kept trusting God. He kept trusting God. And lastly, the fourth fact is this. There is a special person for us, and His name is Jesus. There is a special person for us, and His name is Jesus. Repeatedly, the Bible tells us that God was with Joseph. In everything he faced, he had a helper and a companion. You see, three times in chapter 39, when we read this chapter, three times in this chapter, we are told that the Lord was with Joseph. Okay? The first one, we can see it in chapter 39, verses 1 to 3. We see that God was with him in his servitude. God was with him when he was serving. In other words, okay, even though he was a slave, Joseph conducted himself like the ruler God was preparing him to be. Instead of griping, complaining, whining, and fussing about the situation, he just served Potiphar and did the best job he could do. What a lesson. What a lesson. If we ever expect to rule, then we must first learn to serve. Let me say that again. We can't lead well if we don't serve well. Amen. For me to be able to lead my life well, I need to serve God well. Amen? Amen. We will never be over until we first learn to be under. I believe this was the message God was trying to teach Joseph. If you want to be over, you have to first learn to be under. In other words, you have to first learn to submit to all authorities. In other words, you have to first learn to submit to God Himself. In other words, you need to learn to serve what it feels like when you serve Him. This was the lesson God was teaching Joseph. See, God was teaching Joseph about humility. I think it's a very important element. I think it's a very important principle for us believers of Jesus Christ. We have to walk in humility. We have to walk in humility. Not in arrogance, no. We have to walk in humility. For the Church of Jesus Christ to grow together as one, we have to work in humility. Not just walk. Even the radiators are saying, praise God. We have to walk in humility. Amen. We have to walk in humility and we have to work in humility. We have lots of different churches in intake. And we have to work together as one to reach out to people in intake. We have lots of churches in England right now. And I believe the message of the Lord to all the churches in England is this. Walk in humility and work in humility. We have lots of bullies. And God wants to see His church walking humbly. God wants to see His church walking in humility. Amen. He was with him in chapter 39, verses 7 to 19. The first thing was God was with him when he was serving. Okay? And second, God was with him in seduction as well. Let me explain that. See, Potiphar's wife tried everything in her power to seduce this young man of God. But he stood strong in the Lord. See, God was teaching Joseph that no price could be placed on a clean conscience. He lost his coat, but he kept his conscience. See, God was teaching Joseph a lesson in purity and self-control. Both are essential for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first we looked at, God was with him in his serving. So when we kind of open that up, we see that God was teaching him humility. And secondly, he was with him in his seduction. So in that we see that God was teaching him purity and self-control. Second thing, we need to understand that as body of Jesus Christ, some of the things that we have to be very careful is having a pure conscience. Amen. Having a pure conscience. Because sometimes we murder one another in our thoughts, don't we? Sometimes we murder people that we don't like. Sometimes we murder people that we dislike in our minds. And that's why the Word of God challenges us to have pure conscience. If there's some bit of unforgiveness or bitterness that we carry, God wants us to let go of it and have a clear conscience. And sometimes we can be a bit wild with our living, okay? And God wants us to have self-control in all aspects of our lives. God wants us to have self-control in the way we talk, okay? Sometimes we curse with the same mouth and we bless with the same mouth. And God teaches us in the scriptures that we have to have self-control. And sometimes we talk about generosity. Sometimes we talk about compassion. But yet our actions display something else. And perhaps in that area, God wants us to have self-control. Sometimes we want to do something, but we don't do it because we easily give in to emotions. Because we easily give in to the adrenaline that kicks in and we make a quick decision and later on we regret. And we think, why did I buy that? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? And in that moment, that moment of adrenaline can be prevented. That moment of making that harsh, rough decision can be prevented if we give in to the self-control. God was teaching Joseph purity. For him to be a good leader, for him to be a good man leading the people, God wanted him to be a pure man. God wanted him to be a pure man. But at the same time, if he would have acted on his emotions, and if when a few years after that, when the brothers came to see him, he could have acted completely differently. But he didn't. Why? Because the Lord was able to teach him self-control. And because the Lord was able to teach him self-control, he was able to forgive. The reason why he was able to forgive them was because the Lord taught Joseph self-control whilst he was in prison. That's why sometimes the Lord lets us go through some of the things that we go through. Because when we experience it for ourselves, then we understand and see the full picture. Then our perspective changes. Amen. And thirdly, God was with him in his suffering. And you can read about this in chapter 39 again, verses 21 to 23. Even when Joseph was forced to endure the shame of false imprisonment, God was with him. Not only God was with him, but God blessed him. Amen? God blessed him. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? God turned tragedy, temptation, and trouble into a great triumph.
Amen.
Amen. He turned it into a great triumph. God brought all Joseph's dreams to pass, teaching to Joseph, and he learned a lot of things.
Yeah.
We can learn a lot of things from his life as well. See, through it all, Joseph never wavered. He never compromised. He never flinched at what the Lord allowed in his life. As a result, he won the victory. See, sometimes it looks like the world and the flesh and the devil is winning. Okay, that was my other point. Alright, sometimes it looks like the world and the flesh and the devil is winning. But remember, with God on our side, we always win. Amen? We always win because he has something special for us. So let's keep trusting. Let's keep walking in humility. Let's keep walking in purity. Let's keep walking in self-control. Let's keep trusting him alone. Because the work that he started in each and every one of his lives, he will bring it to completion. And always remember this, the Lord hasn't forgotten about you.
Amen.
The Lord hasn't forgotten about us. The Lord is with us. And whatever the enemy intended for evil, God meant it for good.
Amen.
God can use the famine and turn it into a great blessing.
Yeah.
God can take the famine and turn it into a great blessing.